Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing What If Season 2, Episode 9. What if Strange Supreme intervened? All that and more of the set we have some amount of control over.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I am the Watcher. No, I'm Jeff Randall. I'm watching the Watcher.
Who watches the Watcher? And with us today, we have J. Scotty St. Clair again, holding it down. Been on almost every episode of What If, all but the first two, right?
That's correct, yeah.
This season.
So it's been a lot of fun. Thanks for letting me stick around.
Yeah, man, been great having you.
And if he had been in Birmingham, he would have been there for it too. I know it.
That's right.
Next time, baby.
Next time.
All right, Rhodey.
Well, let's get into this last episode. What'd you guys think?
We had a doozy, right?
It was quite an episode.
Yeah. I'm honestly still trying to wrap my head around like what I just saw. In full transparency, every other episode I've watched twice. This one I have not watched twice, so I'm kind of relying on you guys to help guide the conversation. But wow, they just went all out in this episode. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a blast for that reason.
Yeah.
I finished watching this episode 48 minutes ago, so mm-hmm. I'm right there with you.
I watched it 3 hours ago and then watched it again right before we recorded. So I've got it twice.
Okay.
And I like to this. I always take notes the second time so that I don't have to like focus on notes the first time. So I'm pretty familiar with it now. I just freaking loved this episode.
It was really cool.
One thing I thought was really cool, I had talked about how they had slipped those few lines, and you guys didn't even see it. So maybe I thought it was just me, but they had slipped those few lines in that made me think Kahori might go too far, end up being a bad guy. Then they open this episode trying to convince you as an audience member that she might have gone too far, and they send you there. And I was so glad we'd had that conversation. I was hoping it infested you guys' brains so y'all could have the same experience I was.
Correct.
You're like, oh, they're... Because I was... Me and my niece was sitting there, and I was like, he's sending her. I bet he's sending her to get Kahori. I bet it's Kahori. And I paused it, and my niece was like, if he's sending her to get Kahori, I'm on Kahori's side.
No, I definitely did think of you, and my reaction was more like, damn it, he's right again.
I had that one. I was like, oh no, Matt might be right. He's never going to let us hear the end of it.
Well, I love when I'm right. But no, like, I was not upset that I was wrong, but I do think that was a very deliberate, those couple of lines that made it a little bit ominous, I think it was very deliberately like setting up the fact that when you watch this episode, you go, ooh, oh no. And then it like makes you have to think like, maybe it is her, maybe it is him. But once she mentions it's him, it's like, oh no, it's definitely him. I thought it was him to begin with. Because when they're walking through his, what does he call it? The infinite sanctum or something like that?
Yeah.
Sanctum infinitum.
There you go.
One of the few things I noticed in the background was the young Peter Quill. Oh, and he was talking about how he was taking out universal threats, but young Peter Quill was in one of the chambers. He was one of the first things I saw. And I was like, why would he capture young Peter Quill? We saw that episode that he's not a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
There was that thing that Kahori said that was like, he's also getting righteous heroes.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like he's getting, you know, everybody. And I was like, I was thinking, like, is he like keeping them in storage to like bust out when a team needs to happen? Like, are they like the multiversal version of good Winter Soldiers? Because that would be pretty cool, I guess.
No, they're just fuel for his forge to build his universe back.
Right.
I was hoping that the forge would be something a bit more than the big rings from the movie Contact.
Okay.
I thought those rings were nice because they very much reminded me of the like imagery that we see in all the Sanctums. They like the swirling images of the different sort of non-concentric rings that are like in the background of a lot of the like the stained glass and such, you know. It kind of looked like that, but a moving version almost.
I thought of Nidavellir as well.
Yes.
Which was like an engine and a forge itself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Totally.
Yep. And I mean, that same sort of imagery is used in like so many space and sci-fi things.
True.
Most recently I saw it in Starfield.
Okay.
Cause it's like, you're constructing that from the pieces of artifacts that you gather.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's clearly making that same sort of shape where it's just like, oh, this is, we're making science thing. Cool. We're making science object.
Well, speaking of kind of like sci-fi iconography that like kind of instantly sells you on an idea, I really loved having like so much of the Kirby crackle brought to life.
Yes.
That was
yes.
amazing. And that, like, that's when like What If is like really leaning into like what it does so well with its animated sensibilities.
Yeah. The bizarro, like, you couldn't do this kind of thing in, like, that, you know, if you had Benedict Cumberbatch there being all like, ah, doing his thing, it would look great for him, but when you go to animate that same sort of, like, the bubbles and crackles and, mm-hmm. and weird-looking energy that he's shooting, like, that's not going to track the same in, right. you know, in live action, you know, if you could call it that.
Yeah, I found myself in the middle of this episode being so thankful for the show because the kind of bonker stuff they're doing that is so like deep in the lore of the MCU, but also of this show and like crossing the universes. And when, I mean, when Peggy steps forward and she has like, you know, the Cap shield, the Hela helmet, the Infinity Stones, and then that sword, which I don't even know who that character was. Does anybody know who
it looked like? Hulk.
It was like an armored Hulk.
Version of Hulk.
Yeah, it was an armored Hulk with some sort of like glowing sword, but I didn't know what. I'm assuming that's a comic book
version.
He had
several weapons.
Yeah.
It kind of looked like the Allfather from the 1602 episode that we just saw.
I thought so too, but the animation was totally different with like the power that it had. Like,
sure.
When Thor was using the Allfather, it was like a crackling, like electricity.
Sure.
But this sword had like a yellow beam that it was firing. I was like, what is, like, I don't even know what that was. I thought it was a strange choice, honestly. I kind of wish she'd picked up Mjolnir in that moment because, like, that would have been a more iconic image for me because I know what that means.
Yeah.
It was cool, though, to see Kahori using her powers floating Mjolnir.
Exactly, though. Like, we had to have Kahori do it so that we know how good and worthy Kahori is.
Sure.
Yes.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, I mean, Peggy already had the Infinity armor and like she had so much else going for her. Like she did not need Mjolnir on top of it.
Last episode, one of you mentioned wanting a figure of the Destroyer, Jeff. You're talking about wanting the Destroyer. That's what I want. I really want a figure of Peggy.
God, Captain Infinity. Give me it.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
Yeah.
When I saw her put that armor on, I was like, Infinite Peggy! No, wait. Captain Infinity!
Infinite
Peggy. Like,
there's so many names for that like crazy amalgam. Yeah. That's like when you get a kid, like you get them a little thing from every movie, right? You get them Mjolnir, you get them a shield, you get them a helmet, and then they go into their toy box and they come out just decked out in all of it. And they're like, nothing will stop me.
Captain Multiverse. She's a hero.
Oh my gosh, I have to mention this. Like, I want to wait till the end because it's not chronological, but like, but damn, we have talked about the tree.
Oh, yeah.
We have talked about so much about Loki and how we didn't think they'd revisit him for a while and all this stuff. And they didn't technically revisit Loki, but like, to go back to that image of the World Tree as seen at the end of Loki in an episode of What If that was, you know, that is dropped like a month later. Like, that mm-hmm. is some tight continuity. That is some, yeah. like, Marvel firing on all cylinders, badass continuity building. And, like, the idea that Uatu, like, what does that mean? Is Uatu telling her the story of Loki? Like, he says there's some really cool things you want to see in the multiverse. And you know how he kind of, like, looks into stories and narrates them, like, Is she watching Loki season 2 right now? Is that what Captain Carter's going to do?
that's what Disney Plus wanted me to do. Like, when it ended, it was like, you'll like Loki. And right. I'm like, I've already watched Loki, and I did like it. You're right. I'll go ahead and watch it again. It took everything I had in my being, in my person, to not shriek, like scream like a little girl mm-hmm. when Yggdrasil showed up. When that same iconography, or that same, like, beautiful image of the tree of green branching out into the blue
yeah.
up top. Like, when that showed up, my mouth was wide open. My hands were spread out wide, like up in the air. And I was like, ah, my yeah. neighbors, they're going to call the police.
Yeah. Yeah, similar yeah, to the two of so you, good. That moment was like a really triumphant moment for me, like as a fan of animation. Like I think back to season one of What If and how much I loved it, but it seemed like, you know, the Marvel fans in general, they kind of forgot about it, or it would often like end up at the bottom of, like, you know, favorite lists and whatnot. But to come full circle and like show that there's that synergy and there's that continuity, and to have Loki season two end on such a high note and like have so much renewed enthusiasm for Marvel, and to see like the creators are actually communicating during the productions of these shows, not after the fact, mm-hmm. not after they know it was received really well, but actually like hedging their bets around the fact, like, no, we know we have something good here.
Yeah.
Like that, it was just, yeah, really, it feels really, really good.
They called their shot.
I actually wondered about that. I wondered if they did call their shot, because it's only that one single, like, pan shot, and I wondered maybe. If, like,
maybe
it's possible after it was, just like we kind of are suspecting they removed some things from the Marvels after Secret Invasion wasn't as well received. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of talk about that. What if Loki was so well received? Maybe this scene was planned. Maybe they had some other, like, that she's just looking at the cosmos, but then someone was like, that was so well received. What if that's what they're looking at? You know what I mean? Like, I could yeah. totally see,
like,
the opposite.
You've got the layers
that.
There, you know, you've yeah. got the characters in the foreground. You've got the potential background. Just keep that. And then whatever is the most popular thing, we'll just slot that in.
Oh, is it the end credit scene to the Marvels? Let's look at Monica Rambeau, like, falling through that crack in space or something. You know, it could have been something like that, but instead
yeah.
that's the thing everyone's loving, so they put that there. I don't know, that's I don't even think that's necessarily a bad thing. I think that's really cool ability to pivot if that's what happened, but it's also possible they just planned ahead, and either way, I really like it. I just think it's freaking awesome.
I like it more if they planned ahead.
Me too.
And they called their shot in that big way.
I do too.
Because, I mean, that's, you know, that's Marvel knowing that they've got a good thing, knowing that, you know, they may have swung for the fences, but, like, it's gonna pay off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's that thing that's like, I've got an idea that's going to make dozens of dollars. Like, it is going to work out.
Yeah. Dozens of dollars.
Yeah, that was a really great moment to end the episode on, because, like I said, it really felt kind of like a crescendo, but, like, thinking about some other, like, really applause-worthy moments in the episode, like, I really like you hearkening, you know, the, like, full Peggy with the full arsenal, kind of comparing that to that, you know, Cap with Mjolnir moment from Endgame. But I think there were some moments earlier on in the episode that, like, they made me swell up just the same, like seeing Surtur swarmed with hella infested zombies. And then
oh, yes,
my God,
after
yes.
I compared Kahorty to Wanda to have her face off against, like, zombie Wanda.
Yes. Was yes.
insane and so, so great.
That's so
and
satisfying.
Then we talk about how thinking about Kahorty might have been the villain, and with her introduction, like, that was like straight out of Age of Ultron Quicksilver, the way she was zipping around those mm-hmm. trees in the snow. So yep. I loved all that stuff.
Totally. So
you mentioned the trees in the snow, but that reminds me, like, in the beginning of that episode, it looked like, because of, like, what Uatu said, he said that the explosion took out you and Steve.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was nobody to stop Red Skull, and so he took over the world. I'm like, but Kahori's there. What was she doing?
I don't think she was from this universe that they entered. I think because he said she escaped. Yeah. So I think she escaped from the prison and ended up in this world. So this is like a completely new setting.
Gotcha. That was my take on it too.
I thought I had the same thoughts when I was like, how did Kahori taking over the Spanish armies end with Red Skull in charge? Like, I don't understand this at all. Like, I don't understand how that tracks.
Right. But.
Well, it's that the energy that she uses got interwoven into the technology, and then that made for bigger explosions, and they actually did kill Peggy and Steve.
Well, then if you really wanted to go with it, but they say they killed Peggy and Steve, so it's not this, but it could have been, if you really wanted to connect those dots, it could be that just like America doesn't exist because it was never colonized, so it was never like made into a country. So and maybe the Kahori's people, they stayed like out of the wars and such, and so like the Red Skull won because he, you know, took over Europe or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, her people were like, okay, so like we got our freedom, like we got the Spanish off our backs, but like now you're wanting us to fight another war. Where does it end?
Yeah.
Where does it end, Kahori?
Yeah.
And she's like, we have to constantly defend, like, forever? No, I'm going to live on a freaking mountain over there. You do your thing, I'm out.
Yeah. Other things that were amazing to see is like Infinite Killmonger again. Oh, yeah. Like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, that was cool. Like in the full Black Panther armor with the stones. That was just so freaking cool.
And his theme from the movie kicking in. I love that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they didn't even have to have him say anything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like you were saying where on the last episode where like they just have a voice actor, you know, come in for a line or two. Sure, they might have to pay him. Right. Otherwise, he doesn't have to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just has to start fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like, as long as they can animate that into it, like, oh, we know that character. We get that reference.
Well, and then when she says, where did he go? And he drops over to him fighting Winwu. And just like Black Panther versus Winwu was cool. And then above them, two Thors are flying at each other. Oh my gosh, it was fun.
God, yes.
We had a like Western looking Loki with two pistols. And like,
Cowboy Loki.
I don't know what his name is, but I'm calling him Quick Draw Lofi-san.
I like it. I am
burdened with glorious pistols.
But that's just one of those scenes like you really could like pause and go frame by frame and try to catch like every single like, you know, character and possibility that they show. It's amazing.
When they were playing it, I was like, I don't have time to like pause this at every frame and look for like who all is in the globes and who's in the background. Like, we gotta record. Like, we're recording.
Right.
Like, I gotta watch the episode like a freaking plebeian. Like, I can't just stop it and be interested.
I did pause on a few shots and like, I think we've mentioned most of what I saw. Like, there's not a lot that I could tell off the bat. I saw like a dark elf in one of the shots.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things in there, but like in the background, I didn't see much that they don't like kind of focus on. I'm sure there's some good Easter eggs in there. I can't wait to like really get to go frame by frame.
Mm-hmm. I saw at least one of the helmets of like an Asgardian warrior. Like, you know, just Asgardian soldier. And I was like, what did he do? Like, what was his universe-ending thing?
Well, a lot of them aren't universe-ending. They were just people. He just got people that were powerful that he could feed to his forge. Like, he's not really looking. Like, I think if I had to guess, Supreme Strange, his thought process was like, started out doing, like, I'm going to capture these universe-ending threats. And then he started going, but if I do that enough, I just need powerful people to feed to my forge. And then he started like going off the path, you know, like, well, just get these other people too. I can bring back a whole world if I just take a couple heroes. And then it's just
nobody's going to miss these universes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I miss mine.
I thought it was really neat when everyone was falling and Hela throws her helmet and like all the other heroes and villains are like throwing. It reminded me of that scenes in various like whatever medieval things where they're like, and you have my sword and you have my axe or whatever, you know, like literally you have my sword and my axe and my daggers and my, like, you have whatever you need from me. And just all the most powerful weapons from the MCU, like lining up at their feet. It was cool.
I was expecting Peggy to put on all of it, like the whole thing, like just wielding every weapon, shield, rings on, sword in hand, Mjolnir somewhere nearby, you know, the Hela helmet on there. Like, I was expecting Peggy to just be decked out, and she's like, okay, my turn.
Mm-hmm. Matt, if you remember when we talked about episode 4, we talked about the Sakaar race, how like they could, Disney could make a ride out of that. I also thought about when the various, you know, denizens of the multiverse were being lifted up and down. I was like, this would be a pretty great ride too. Like, if you've ever done those like spaceships at like a carnival or something like that, that like stick you up on the wall and move you up and down as it spins around.
Can you imagine that? That like that you're going like up and down like one of those rides that does that, but you're going like
Tower of Terror.
Well, yes, but then you're going like underground. Like into like that Ford shape or whatever, into like a glowing like mountain. It's like you're going into a volcano or something and then coming back out and then going back in. Like, that would be terrifying and fun.
I'd love
that. That would be great. That would be so great.
Yeah, sounds really cool. What did you guys think of The Last Temptation of Carter?
It was nice to see Stanley Tucci again. I don't know if they had him reread any lines or if they just lifted that out of the movie, but they credited the man at the beginning of the episode.
They did, yeah. And that was the end of this whole thing. I mentioned it last week, 20 minutes ago. I mean, I mentioned it on the last episode, but like this idea that she cannot lose Steve again, and then she again chooses to lose him here, like. I know that it's false, but it's still like the most tempting thing he can put in front of her. And then she also has the line earlier. He's like, "You would do this for Steve." And she's like, "I would never do this for Steve.
And he wouldn't want me to either.
The cost is too high."
Ugh. "He wouldn't want me to either" was like so powerful. Mm-hmm. Such a strong line of like, I know that I could tear down the world to try to bring him back. But he wouldn't want that.
Right.
Well, I know he wouldn't want that.
And they have that great line, too, that really brings full circle the Strange character of just like, he's been fighting to save Christine. That's what he's doing all of this time. And she's like, "Christine would want you to stop." And he's like, "But I don't want to." Like, she wouldn't want this. And he's like, "But I want this. Like, I'm going to do this."
Yeah.
Yeah. His grief is too great. And he has lost control of it, I think is what he says.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, it's really, really good. And then as he's finally beaten and dying, the good side of himself represented by the human version like comes out and grabs the hand of the demon that is his grief and like holds him as he falls into the pit. It is really, really cool. Like really, really well done characterization, fully rounded arc. I believed We were talking about it ever since we found out he was going to be an active participant this season, and even that like last season when Uatu kind of left him in a way that like sounded like he was going to continue the fight. We were kind of like, I don't know about that. Like he's I don't know if he's fully reformed, and like so it's very believable when he takes his turn. It's really good.
Well, the way that I remember it, or the way that I feel. Sorry, the way that I remember feeling about it at the end of the first season was that Uatu gave him the, you know, little snow globe with those guys in it and sent him back to his own little, like, here's your bubble world, enjoy, like, you know, you got nothing else to do but sit around, so go take this with you and sit around. And, like, it was just kind of like, you know, go live in the toy box for a bit. And think about what you've done, sort of. That's where I felt like they left it was just kind of like Strange was just going to hang out and be like, "Well, got nothing else to do. Might as well, I don't know, you guys want to play poker or something?"
It's like once he's traveled the multiverse with the Watcher, he somehow like gained the ability to do that and, you know, like used his experience to gain that power. But I did love that, like, the beauty of Strange giving his life, falling into the forge, holding himself to falling into the forge, and still that was able to create his world. It's really
nice. The one that he'll never be born into. So now the what if is, what if Stephen Strange was never born, and it turns out it's a pretty pleasant universe.
Turns out it's pretty decent.
Yeah. But no, that all really worked for me too. And I think about everything you guys are saying, and yeah, coming off the heels of season one, it really felt like he was kind of fulfilling a kind of like self-imposed punishment. And then even Peggy, like in this episode, I think she said you were like serving a penance. So it really just kind of speaks to the fact that like he still never addressed his grief. It was still there and it was just built and he was distracting himself, but never healing from that grief. So
yep. He threw himself into the work instead of getting therapy.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So yeah, I think that, that all works really well. I will say though, I kind of hope that this marks an end of seeing Doctor Strange as a villain. Because like we've seen it in a Multiverse of Madness now, we've seen it in What If a couple of different times, and I've heard the speculation and the theories out there that like Strange could go on to become like our villain for Secret Wars. But if that ends up happening, I'm sure if they, you know, deliver it in a way that works, I'll be okay with it. But at this point, it's like Doctor Strange is a good guy. Yeah, he's nuanced and he has some questionable sides to him, but I don't want to see him be a villain anymore.
Yeah he does a lot of stuff in the name of good. Can we actually see him doing the good?
Yeah
Like, can we see the good of his labors?
Yeah, it really is kind of a dark thing that like the Strange character, almost every other version we've met in another universe has turned dark. Mm-hmm. And it's just our Strange that's been walking the line, and he goes, you know, he has that third eye, he has the like sort of like the remnants of being of reading the Darkhold. And so I don't know, man. I don't know if there's much hope for our Doctor Strange, but I hope so. One thing I found really cool on a rewatch of this episode is two lines hit me way different. There was a line that Uatu is talking about. He says, I worry about you, Peggy, going off, and I worry about what will happen. And then after she stops listening to him, he says, two heroes will unite to stop a threat unlike anything the multiverse has seen. And you're assuming he means Peggy and Steven right at that point, but like it's just beautiful because he sees what's going to happen, and he sees, no, it's two heroes and it's going to be Kahori. And I just thought that was really cool that his narration's almost always true, even if it doesn't like line up with what you think it is.
Yeah. Yep.
But it was cool.
You bringing up that line from Uatu actually reminded me again of the final scene with he and Peggy kind of looking in on Strange's reborn universe. And I really appreciated the fact that he still referred to Strange as their friend. Like, even though they just had this falling out, like the relationship and the camaraderie they forged in battle previously, like that wasn't lost. And they still, you know, had an appreciation and an understanding for the tragedy of their friend.
Yeah.
You know, that's funny. I remember that line, both times I watched it, I couldn't decide which friend he was talking about.
Oh.
But I think you're right. I think it's Steven, because Kahori doesn't know the Watcher, Uatu. But times I watched it, I was like, when he says our friend, whatever, does he mean Steven, or does he mean, there was a way of taking it, if I'm remembering the line you're talking about correctly, that it could be Kahori as well. And I was like, I don't know, but I like that too. I hope you're right. Yeah.
I think though that it's Steve, because like he wasn't like hell bent on destruction. He wasn't like, I lost everything, so I have to make everybody else lose everything too. He was like, I'm gonna take these bad things. Their universes are ending anyway.
Well, that's not the case though. He
not always.
You know, like that's how it's. And this is just my headcanon, but the whole point is, he's saying that's what he's doing. He's only taking universe killers, they call them. And then it's Kahori that says, no, he's also taking like valiant heroes.
Righteous heroes. Yeah. But those righteous heroes might also be causing the end of their universe.
They might be, but we don't know. Sure. We don't know.
That's the headcanon that I'm using. He's like, their universes are dying anyway. You're not using it anyway. Let me have some.
Or maybe just like the universes are dying regardless of, you know, whatever. And he's just taking valiant heroes from there and like sacrificing them.
I think about like what actually ended up satisfying the Forge, and the fact that it was him and it was his grief. And that made me think like, the Forge just needed a powerful enough being, and he talked about how powerful his grief had become. So I thought he was targeting more and more powerful variants out there in Kahori, based on what we've seen from her so far. Like it makes sense that he'd be gunning for her.
That's why he's like, this is the last one I need. Like, this will put it well over the number that I need, whatever calculation of power. I really And the fact that when Strange gets hit with that thing and it sort of separates him from his grief for a moment, I said that out loud, and then I was like, what a beautiful metaphor of like being able to see through his grief for a second. It separates him from his, it's really pretty.
The thought that I had was very much not as pretty. Not as like nice. I was like, she slapped the devil out that man.
Well, that's what I thought was happening. Do you remember how he became so powerful? Was consuming all those demons and those beings. Uh-huh. So when she hit him with that bolt, Steven fell on the ground, and you see like some shadows are emerging behind him. I thought we were going to get that classic, like, I don't know, cost of serving demons moment. Where, like, right. The demons are now separate from him. Like, they were all released from his body. All those demons that he killed in season one. That's what I thought we were about to get. Like, them, like, grabbing him and dragging him down or something. Mm. But it makes sense that he was able to, satisfy the Forge because of all the power he'd been consuming from that season one episode where he's just, like, consuming demons and demons bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
He's just getting more and more powerful.
He was doing that same plan from last from that episode of last season where like I just need something more powerful to feed into the thing to help me save my universe. I just need a little more juice, you know.
Just need a little more juice, and he just greedy for more. Greedy for power. That's all his character really ended up being. And greedy for power and wanting to change something he couldn't change.
Mm.
It's a fixed point in time.
The other line that I thought was really interesting on a rewatch was, she says, okay, I'll help you, but after that you send me home. And he said, cross my heart. What's the first episode he's in called?
What if Strange lost his heart. Yeah.
Instead of
it
his
didn't
hands.
Have a heart or whatever it was, yeah.
So cross my heart to me was like, he's saying like, you take it two ways. He doesn't have a heart to cross, but
he
also like
have one.
His heart is Christine, and he says cross my heart, but like it doesn't matter. His promises to her mean nothing because all of his promises are for Christine. I thought that was a really cool line on a second watch.
Mm.
That is a good callback.
Yeah,
I also like the callback to the first season of the zombies.
Oh yes. When Hela took over the zombies and came through that door and they all got green eyes, I was like, oh yeah, that's great. That's so good.
When they all got green eyes, I was like, Goddess of Death! Like, immediately.
Oh, it's awesome.
I was hoping, though, that was going to be White Hela.
Yeah.
Riding in and taking them over and being like, nah, we ain't doing that. And then, like, Surtur shows up and, you know, she's got to fight him because, like, obviously, but I really wanted it to be that Hela that was the white.
Yeah,
the
that
Hela
would have been
white.
Really cool.
I was hoping for that one.
One thing I thought about Loki, seeing Yggdrasil at the end, it made me think Uatu going to Yggdrasil and you see the little green spark in the center. I was kind of thinking like Loki is kind of a watcher. Like the watchers are this race of beings who like got enough power and they eventually ascended past this realm to observe everyone. And yes, he's doing more than that. He's like literally powering the verse, but he's also just watching all these stories play out, you know, the God of Stories and all that. It like kind of seems very similar to the role that the Watcher plays. So I wonder if we'll ever get those two in an actual conversation if we ever do have a revisit Loki.
I like that. I like the thought that Loki's not quite so lonely, that the Watcher checks in on him every now and they're like, hey, what'd you think about that one? Oh, I love that
hey,
one.
Hey, guy.
Oh, yes.
You look hungry. You want a sandwich? I know you can't go anywhere. I'm going to go get something for you.
I can pop over there to the TVA and get you some key lime pie.
I'm going to get you some key lime pie. Hey, I'm running to the store. Do you want anything?
That's a really good call, Jay Scotty. I love that idea. And it kind of, we all are watchers of this content. Ooh, yeah. You know, we all as fans and in this community and as fans, we like are people who watch things and discuss them. I kind of love the fulfilling nature of like Uatu and Loki are like these beings that can't either have, they have an oath to not interfere, or Loki has this like, he can't interfere because he's busy. And so like they're able to sit and watch the multiverse and just discuss it. And like, I want to see that show of them like watching
Loki sitting there like holding all of it together. Just like, God jeez, God, this is a lot. And Uatu's like, you want to start a podcast?
I feel like I'm having a Jeff moment right now, because when you started to say that, Matt, what if they got Tom Hiddleston to come in and fulfill that role that Stan Lee had? Because, like, I think that might be one of those things that, like, the MCU is missing as well. I thought, like, Kevin Feige could step up to be that guy, and maybe people think it would be disrespectful to Stan Lee, but I don't know. But, like, that could work, like, in-universe, too, if Loki's just popping up as this random guy that's just watching what's going down and being that storyteller. Oh, that'd be good.
Even if it was just for the multiverse saga, like, the rest of the multiverse saga, he was able to... Once he has that role, he's able to pop in and do that. That would be really, really
I don't
really
even
cool.
need the other characters to, like, acknowledge him. If he's just there,
That's quite literally in that Stan Lee spot. That would be great.
Yeah. Interesting. Oh, man, I like that. Yeah. This was a great episode, and it, like, gave context to the wider MCU. It's just so much fun, man. God.
Mm-hmm.
That look at Yggdrasil was just the perfect... The perfect ending to both of these series.
I'm laughing so much at, like, Uatu just being like, you want to play cards or something?
Yeah, totally. And he's like,
I'm so busy. Yeah, I get that. But, like, we watch a lot of these stories, right? Like, we watch a lot of it.
But, like, go fish, you know?
Can you change the channel?
I just thought about, like, every time the Watcher asks what if, it's like another strand for Loki, and he's like, please just stop
it. Stop it. God, please stop. There's so much for me to hang on to.
What if I just like that in them, like, sitting on, he makes them a little, they turn it into a little throne. Instead of a throne, it's a little, like, love seat, and they're sitting together, and, like, Uatu's got popcorn, and he keeps, like, giving a kernel to Loki. He's like, thanks, man. Thanks.
Sorry.
Some silly stuff, man.
I made pizza rolls. I made pizza rolls.
I loved. Oh, we've been talking about how much fun the Watcher voice is to do. Uh-huh. And, like, in this episode, Hayley Atwell got to do it, and I thought that was awesome. It made me laugh so hard, because we've been doing it all this whole run of episodes, and she got to do it, and it was so much fun to hear Peggy, like, try to affect the Watcher voice.
It's so funny. She got to do that to someone who also has been talking to Uatu. So, like, she gets to make a joke that somebody else understands.
Yeah, totally. Like, they're, like, making fun of their buddy.
Something like they shared that crazy thing.
Her and Stranger just making fun of.
Speaking of references, I mentioned in the last episode how we learned that she'd also seen Back to the Future, but now that we also learned she's seen Aliens, Jurassic Park, and Gremlins.
Yes.
So, Peggy, whoever is giving you your recommendations is doing a stellar job.
They're nailing it.
It's me when I was 7. Like, this is like, I am. She has traveled through time and met me on a park bench when I was 7, and I gave her those movies to watch. Those are perfect. Those are exactly my childhood right there.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You get enough of a dangerous thing, one of them always gets out.
Yep. That was so funny. It's funny that she's kind of a pop culture head. Like, being the woman at the time, Steve is the opposite. Because he, like, knows nothing. He's trying to catch up and seems to never really get anything. The whole I get that reference thing. But, like, Peggy's the one bringing up current pop. Or, like, well, I say current. Like, 40-year-old pop culture at this point.
Oof.
I know, man. That made me sad, too. I'm sorry.
They should have had the Grandmaster in one of the cells in the background. And when she mentioned Jurassic Park, he just should have been like, you know, life finds a way.
Oh, speaking of Grandmaster, I think the Collector was fighting.
I recall seeing him at least once.
Yeah, yes. One of the pauses that I did to see if I saw anybody, I think I saw the Collector.
There was a rocket that looked like he was a little more cybernetically enhanced.
Yeah, that one was like jumping right at the screen. So that was that made me wonder. That was in the trailer.
Yeah, that was the trailer shot where we were like, oh shit, Rocket's going to be like cyborged out like crazy.
Yeah, well, I was like, what is that what if going to be? And it wasn't. It was just this like one shot. Oh man. Golly, so good, guys. So freaking good. I have had a blast talking about it with y'all. And thank you both for being a part of this thing and trying to make it happen as quick as we could.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Scott, you want to tell the people where they can find you online before we get out of here?
I sure do. Animation Deliberation is the place to find me. That's the podcast that takes action, animation, and cartoons seriously, but not too seriously. So if you like animated stuff like What If, Animation Deliberation is the podcast for you. Check it out.
Sweet. And we're also over on Multiverse News. We're going to be breaking out a new news episode this week. Right now, if news. You go over to our feed, we took a week off of news because we had to record early for the holidays, but we did a episode about our top fives. So for this year, top five TV shows and top five movies for 2023. So it was a lot of fun. Quinna, Multiverse News is fun because it's a chance for us to talk about things beyond the MCU. And for Scoots over here, beyond animation, we're just kind of getting to talk about a little bit of everything, little touch of everything that we love. So it's a lot of fun. Come check out Multiverse News.
I'm confused. There's stuff beyond the MCU?
Oh, don't act like you haven't been watching Percy Jackson.
I have been. I've been watching Percy. It's so good. Oh my God, it's so good.
Nice. I have not. Is it good? Is it that good?
Yes. It's like,
I know you were a fan of books.
Way back in the day, I watched the movie and then I was like, you know, I'll check out the books. So I read the books and was like, wow, those were so much better than the movie. They came out with the second movie and I was like, man, this is still not as good as the books, but like they're trying. And then this series has what, 3 episodes so far? And it is nailing it. It is freaking nailing it. And I love it. I love it.
It's awesome. Yay. I'm glad. I knew you were excited about that coming out, so I'm glad it's fulfilling. Well, we will be back next week. I don't think we've told this on the podcast. Me and Jeff recorded a news episode like 3 weeks ago that we, our recording failed. Really, really
lost
a bummer.
To the ether.
Lost to the ether, unretrievable. So we may go back and hit some of that news we missed because there's a lot have been going on, particularly the fact that Jonathan Majors is out as Kang and like what's going to happen now. And we haven't had a chance to talk about it because the one news episode we did got lost. So we'll be back with news episodes and feedback episodes in the coming weeks. And I think we've got a couple of commissions also that people have requested. So maybe try to hit those before we get to Echo, which is like a week away.
Yeah, a week and a few days.
Yep. So we'll be back soon, guys. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Hey, you just listened to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast from Stranded Panda. I really hope you liked it. Let me just say a big thank you to all of our supporters on patreon.com/MCUcast. You are the lifeblood of our little operation here, and a huge, huge thank you to our insanely generous Illuminati tier patrons, Walter Kreisky III, Lieutenant Bongo, and Jazz Viz. You guys are amazing. If you'd like to see our beautiful faces, you can catch a video version of many of our episodes at youtube.com/strandedpanda. Love you 3,000, my friends.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.